Now.
Can you hear me now? I sure was, wasn't I? Oh, it is great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I know you guys were expecting Pastor Bernie to be up here, but he has an issue this morning, so he called me last night and asked me if I would stand in. So y'all pray for me as we have our Sunday school lesson today. Those of you on Facebook, glad you could be here this morning. I'm praying that you receive something this morning that God will minister to your heart, that we approach people in love and kindness as we go through these times of division and people have their own opinions about things. But this morning, we are going to open up the book of Daniel. And we are going to get into chapter 3. And we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we're able to trust it even today in 2020. We thank you, God, that it's still relevant. Lord, we can't always trust the media, but we can trust your word. Amen. Reveal your word to us in a way, God, that we grow stronger. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Nebuchadnezzar. Do we know who Nebuchadnezzar is?
King of Babylon.
Was he a villain?
Yes.
People that just maybe come to church, they still know that Nebuchadnezzar was a villain, right? So let me give you some information about who King Nebuchadnezzar was. He was the longest reigning Chaldean in history. He was the second king of the Chaldean dynasty, and that was 40 years. He was the king of Babylon from 605 BC to 562 BC. One of the most important ruler of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. What's the Neo-Babylonian? It's just simply the second Babylonian Empire. He conquered Jerusalem not one time, but two times. He destroyed Solomon's temple. He took many Jews captive. He instituted Babylonian exile, and they were in captivity for 70 years. His empire brought many people of different nations together. So many wise men are in this exiled state. He educated the young men who he thought had potential and educated them in the wisdom of Babylon. Who are some of these educated people, these people with wisdom? Daniel. And we know how important he is in the book. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he captures them, realizes what potential they have, and he elevates them and puts them into influential positions, correct?
Amen.
So, Nebuchadnezzar, an evil king. What I'm wanting to show you today is the correlation between 605 BC to 2020. How many times have we been told that the devil has nothing new in his arsenal? He does the same thing over and over. And he's doing the same thing here in 2020 as he did back in 562 BC. I'm not here to tell you, convince you about any political party. I'm not here to elevate one and decrease the other. I'm here to give you facts. And that's why we live in America. You can make your own decision. And so I want to point out to you, remember, we operate in the spirit realm, not in the carnal realm, right? So if we see with our carnal eyes all the time, some things make sense, right? But we got to understand in the spirit realm, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what?
Powers of darkness.
Spiritual wickedness. So So many times we want to get in the battle and start fighting, especially on Facebook. But is that the right thing to do? No. All right, so we're going to spend a little time this morning and correlate 562 BC to 2020, okay? All right, so let's begin in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Oh, look, we don't even have to go any further. We can stop right there because we know this thing is going south from here, right? So we know that in Exodus 20, in the Torah, that God gives us the Ten Commandments. And what was one of the Ten Commandments?
Make no other idol before me.
So we know we're going south right now, right? So he gives the dimension whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. How big was it? 90 feet by 9 feet. 90 feet tall. That's massive. You're not going to miss that, are you? You are not missing that. Listen, I want to tell you what this, I'm studying out of the Expositor Study Bible, but listen to what this says. According to the Septuagint, we know that's the Greek version of the Holy Bible, of the Hebrew Bible, Nebuchadnezzar built the images of gold in the 18th year of his reign. So he's been in there for 18 years. Things have got common, things have got in place, right? And we've got comfortable, even though we're in captivity, we've kind of got comfortable with being in captivity. About a year before he burned Jerusalem, Daniel and his friends had been in Babylon now for nearly 20 years. 20 years of the same old, same old. 20 years of being in captivity. Do we kind of get relaxed? This is our comfort zone. We're comfortable here. Even though we're in captivity, what is our thought process during this time? The erection of this image was approximately 15 years after the events of the dream and its interpretation. We know about the dream back in Daniel 1 and 2, that the king had a dream. Daniel comes and tells him what the dream was and interprets it, correct? This illustrates the darkness and incurable rebellion of the natural heart. Man, the rebellion of the natural heart. It proves that apart from a new spiritual birth, no circumstances, however powerful, can teach man to know and worship God. No matter how big the establishment is, no matter how big some of these political parties are, no matter how big some of these social injustice groups, how big they get, they cannot change the hearts of man. This is going to take a spiritual rebirth in order to correct the things that's taking place. We can't put laws into place to force people not to feel a certain way. We can't put laws in place to make them think a certain way. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of policy. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So all of the political people's in place, right? So we know in our empire here, the president may establish something. It's going to be handed down to the governors. The governors hand it down to the mayors. It trickles down, correct? So it goes on to say, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the king instituted, here is what you're going to do. Didn't we leave that, Pastor Butch? Didn't we leave that kind of monarchy where a king oversaw us? And we established the United States to where we have freedoms and rights, right? Are we in risk of losing some of these freedoms? I want you to wear a mask to protect yourself. It's just a mask. Am I telling you not to wear the mask and protect? No, I'm not telling you that at all. But if we slide things in, slippery slope. Well, I'm taking a knee. It's just a knee. Come on. I'm taking a knee for social injustices. It's just a knee, Jackie. Yeah. What's the Bible say about bowing to any other thing? We're not to do it. So are we in a place now it's socially acceptable to take a knee? How easy will it be to bow down to other things when it's sociably accepted? Doesn't the devil slide things in? And he slides in and does, oh, let's just wear a mask. Now I'm covering your mouth. What if it was a spiritual thing that the devil was saying, I'm trying to shut you up so that you can't preach the word of God. You can't preach truth. What if it's a spiritual sign of saying, I'm shutting you up. Here's what is really going on. That's the shadow of what's to come. If we don't know our word, we'll follow in line. If we're not anchored in his word, we'll take that knee. Is Colin Kaepernick going to hell because he took a knee? No. Come on. It's not what we're saying. But as soon as we start doing things that contradicts the word, but it's socially popular, and we don't know the fullness of this, we're being led down this trail. Amen. And we'll accept anything that comes. Amen. The Bible tells us to study to show yourself approved. I can tell you anything in here. Just because I have this podium right now, pastor's given me the authority to stand here, I could lie to every single one of you. If you don't know what this says, I could lead you anywhere that you want to go. Right? Amen. We have to know what the word says. Me and my husband were having a conversation, and this, you know, this political movement with the rioting and the COVID and the news telling us one thing, and then you find out that it's something else, and you just have no idea who to believe, what to believe. And I finally had had enough, and I said, listen, I don't care what your race says, and I don't care what your race says. If it is not lined up in the Word of God, I'm not getting behind it, I'm not supporting it, and I'm not protesting for anything. It has to line up with what thus saith the Lord before I can get behind it and support it. I love you, but I cannot support anything that is contradictory to the Word. So, those that are our mayors and our governors and our sheriffs and our treasurer, everybody's before the image being told what to do. Okay? Then a herald cried aloud. Oh, you know they're snitches, right? There's snitches in the world, Pastor. I think some of our governors have set them up right now, right? If you don't wear a mask, they're going to call a certain number and report you, right? Uh-oh. Are we losing our freedoms? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The mask is still good. Look at poor mama back here. That's right. She had to. She's sick. And she has to, right? She's going through chemotherapy, right? And she's using wisdom, isn't she? She's using wisdom. She could get sick where we can't, right? at using wisdom. But here comes a governor. Here comes a president. Here comes somebody telling me I've got to do something. Hold up. Look here. John Hopkins Medicine. Do you know that COVID worldwide, 656 deaths worldwide. The flu worldwide, 290,000 to 650,000 per year. And we have a pandemic.
Plandemic.
The Washington Post, COVID, was it created? They're saying natural transmission from bats to humans through unsanitary markets. But they're saying scientists do not rule out that an accident at a research laboratory in Wuhan, China might have spread the virus. Again, I go back to we don't know because we can't trust the information that is being given to us. The bat virus had been collected for study. Could it easily been accidentally put into something? I'm not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is, don't just believe anything that you hear. If the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved, don't just read Facebook. Find the information. Understand the source that's being delivered. Research for yourself. I'm not telling you this virus isn't real, because people in the medical field will tell you it's real. It's a virus. It's real. The success rate is 96 to 97%, though. There's where my concern is. Understand the word, guys. The Bible says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We got to be smart about what we do. Amen? Amen?
When you said
96% of the people that's had it recovered.
Okay?
96%. 96%. Okay. So then the herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." We said in the beginning, the very first verse, we got a problem here, NASA. I'm telling you, Jackie, you need to worship this idol. Mike, you need to stand before this idol and worship it. If you don't know what the Torah told us, are you going to worship the idol? Your mayor told you to do it. Your governor told you to do it. Your president told you to do it. Are you going to do it? And they're going to kill you if you don't. Are you going to do it? Are we strong enough to go against the establishment right now? Do we, when we're pressed with ridicule, when we're pressed with people saying, "You don't know what you're talking about. You're one of them dumb Christians, Pastor. You don't have a clue." There will be people on Facebook right here that's going to say, "You've lost your mind, Katrina." Right? They're going to call me names. Can you handle that when everybody's against you? Can you dig your heels in, ladies? Men, can you stand firm and still continue to stand on what thus saith the Lord? Amen? "And those who fall down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. If you don't do it, I'm killing you." It's one thing that you talk about me on Facebook. It's another thing, Pastor, if you're going to take me and throw me into the fiery furnace and kill me. You're going to take my life. Can we stand up for our faith in the midst of losing everything? Do we trust our God enough that we're willing to lose it all for Him? That's something to think about. We're so comfortable in our American nation, that we've had freedoms, right? When we were growing up, it was okay to pray in public. It was expected in schools. And we slowly started pulling this stuff out. So we, even though it can be intense right now at times, what's it going to be like in the near future? Amen. When you can't do it publicly?
Amen.
Are you going to be able to stand when you're having to risk everything to serving?
Yeah.
Or are we going to line up with what's comfortable? Are we going to line up? We can't even stand a test and trial right now, Pastor. When a test and trial comes our way, boy, we tuck our tail and we run in the other direction. What are you doing to me, God? Why am I having to go through this, Jackie? Has God left me because I got in an argument with my husband? Because I didn't agree with the way somebody did their finances? Little tiny things we get frustrated with because pastor's not agreeing with me.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the church.
I don't know why.
How are we going to handle it when things get really tough?
Yeah.
Are we ready? So these little things that's coming at us right now is God trying to prepare us, trying to strengthen us, trying to position us that we can handle what's getting ready to come our way.
Yeah.
It's getting ready, people.
Yeah.
Get ready. It's coming. And when you know it, then you know how to deal with it when it comes your way. All right. Listen to this, what this commentary says. Satan not only demands worship, and in many and varied ways, but also attaches a penalty to all those who will not obey. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did, didn't he? I set up this image, and there's a penalty if you don't do what I say.
Yeah.
Does that sound like some of our political leaders?
Amen.
Is that not what's going on?
Amen.
Isn't that what we said at the beginning of this, Janie, that we're going to correlate this between 562 BC and what's going on right now? Nothing new under the sun. It's the same old stuff back then as it is today.
Amen.
Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. That quick. That quick. Okay, except. That's right, Michael. So, when our religious or our political people tell us to do something, and then it goes against the word, what are we to do?
Stand on the word.
We got to know what the word says.
Amen.
What we got. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. There's our snitches. Uh-oh! Pastor Butch! Pastor Butch didn't do X, Y, and Z. Call the 1-800 number. Tell. Hurry up. Shame on you, Pastor Butch. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. He reminded him of his decree.
Yeah.
And whoso falls not down and worships that, he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Remember your penalty for not doing this. How many people will come into our elected people right now in position and say, hey, Carol, you've got to do this because of this, and this is over here now. You've got to do it, because if you don't, then you're going to offend this group, and this group's not going to like you, and they're not going to reelect you. You can't do what's right, Carol. You have to do what's politically positioning you into your next election. Aunt Dyke, you can't do it because somebody might be mad at you. They'll get over it, right? Can you handle it? What if you're in these positions and the enemy comes and tries to get you to make a decision that's not based on this word? Why is it important that we're to vote people into office that know what this is? Because they'll line up with what's happening right now.
Amen.
Not knowing what this is. That's why we Christians are losing our rights. Because we Christians are sitting in our pews doing our weekly duty of coming to church. But we really don't know what this says. We don't vote according to this anymore. We've become passive because, Pastor, it's not politically correct. We no longer know what this says anymore. Because I just come and I listen to Pastor Butch talk every week and then I go right back out the door. And I live my life. I don't get in here and I don't study it. Time's coming. Time's winding down, Pastor. That's right. It hasn't, has it? It stayed the same, hasn't it? Is that what you said? The word hasn't changed?
It's the only thing that can change you.
That's right. It is the only thing that can change you. Absolutely. Absolutely. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Remember at the beginning we said there's Daniel that he has set into position because of the dreams that he interpreted. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were friends with Daniel and he got them into position. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. They knew the Torah, right? They knew they're not to bow down to any other god, right? They studied and showed themselves approved. They know the word, right? They believe in the God that they serve, and they're willing to risk their lives to stand up for the God that they believe in.
Amen?
Amen?
That reminds me of my people
perish. For lack of knowledge. My people,
yes,
they knew him. What in the Jewish culture, it was important for them to teach their kids in the way of the Lord, right? Or the way of their God. So do we do that? Have we gotten so relaxed? Oh, I got to run my kids to the ball game. Oh, I got to run my kids to school activities. Oh, I've got to. And our children don't even know how easy it is to go to the college campuses and teach our kids that, Dad, it's your body. You have the right to do with your body what you want to do with it. Well, that sounds right, doesn't it? How dare you come over here and tell me what I can do with my body? But if we didn't know that thou shalt not kill, that every baby is born with purpose. If we don't know this stuff, it only makes sense. Do we know the word? Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. In his rage and in his fury. Have you ever made a decision based upon your rage and your fury? Did it come out all right? Did you end up probably making it worse than whatever you intended? Guilty. Guilty.
Sometimes.
Guilty. I've been there. I've done that.
Yeah.
Guilty. This commentator says, quite possibly, along with their disobedience, the jealousy of the Babylonian officials showed itself regarding these certain Jews.
Yeah.
These, under Daniel, had been elevated to high positions of power in the empire. Therefore, with great joy, the accusers will point a finger of accusation at these men as they are called, demanding that Nebuchadnezzar take place. Yeah. Not everybody loves your elevation. Not everybody supports when you're blessed, Mike. Not everybody engages Charles David when God is showing you favor. There's going to be people that come against us. And if we're waiting on the world to accept us, you're going to be waiting a long time. Are you wanting the world's acceptance, or are you wanting God's favor? The world's fairness or God's favor in your life? God's favor in our life. Right, Charles David? Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" I don't want some long drawn out thing. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Do you worship him or not? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands? The king was too quickly find out as to who exactly that God was.
So he's
going to
give
a second chance. Woo! Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, "Listen, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." What does that mean? We're not careful to answer you. I'm not careful. I don't have to dwell on this. I don't have to think about it. I know exactly what I'm going to do. There's no fear here. This is what we're getting ready to do. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not," let's say, but if not, "be it known unto you," all right, Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, that we will not serve your God." He will deliver us. He's able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, "we will not serve your God, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." They knew it right off the bat. They didn't have to think about it, didn't have to pray about it. "Well, let me go, Pastor, I got to go and pray about it for about a week. Let me look at the Bible and see what the Bible says." No, they knew. As quick as you know that that's a pew and it's going to hold you up, they knew that they was not going to bow down to this image. Yeah. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Visage there was, his face had changed. His countenance changed. Woo! Now he's heated, Pastor. You put me out here in front of this entire nation. You didn't do what I said. Now I'm really heated. It's on now, right? It's on. "Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace, not to its normal heat." How much? Seven times more. I'm going to make sure that you don't come up out of this. Okay? Yeah. "But out of our fury and our anger," do we step on other people?
Sometimes.
"Out of our fury and anger," can we do things to hurt other people?
Yeah.
"How do?" "And he commanded the most highly men who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. So he took his elect, his elite. He took those that were mighty to come over here and bind them up. Okay? Guess who's getting ready to get trampled on? His finest, because his anger. The Bible says be angry and sin not, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It says we can't get angry. Sometimes anger pushes you into an area that you really need to go. Sometimes we get lazy and relaxed. And sometimes it does take anger to get you up out of. But he says to be angry and sin not. So, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. So not only, when I put the clothes on, isn't that an accelerator? Your clothes are going to burn, right? Pretty hot. But what about in the spirit realm? Was this a sign to say, I'm burning your image? Your clothes is your identity sometimes, right? This is their hat. This is their being. This is what people knew them by. Was their attire and how. We know when Miss Jackie walks up in here, Miss Jackie's going to be sharp, right? We know that. We know Jackie's image. Y'all know my image. We know Charles David's image, right? So they adorn them in their clothes. What if the enemy is saying, I'm going to ruin your reputation. I'm trying to ruin your image. I'm trying to ruin the God that you serve. Not only am I killing you, but I'm trying to kill any influence that he has. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, he didn't think it through. I'm mad and I made a decision because I'm mad. And the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was so mad because you didn't agree with me, Deb, that the decision I made to hurt you hurt your husband. And it hurt Mama and Mama. Out of fury and anger. Making decisions based upon our feelings and our hurt personalities. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They stood up for the Lord. Not bowing down, and yet I'm willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace. You think they were questioning things in their mind? Oh, Lord, what have we done? Ooh. Ooh. Come on, when we make a decision and times get tough, we start thinking, oh, did I do the right thing? They're bound up. They're in there. They're committed to it. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? Didn't we put three people in there? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, well then, why do I see four? And they're loose. We bound them up. How'd they get free? Walking in the midst of the fire. Oh, hey, they're having a good time. In the midst of the fire that's blazing seven times hotter than what it normally was. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let's take a little pause. Let's take a little worship break, Pastor. Let's go to Psalms 91, which is one of my favorite. So if I read it all excited, you got to excuse me. All right? You already know what Psalms 91 is, don't you, Jackie? So, as they're in the fiery furnace, thinking they're going to be consumed, or could be consumed, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was destroying them. Because they didn't go along with what he thought. He who dwells in the secret place, who dwells in prayer with the Lord of the Most High, shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Will He protect you through your time of trial? Will He protect you while you're going into the fiery furnace? Hold up. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilent that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When they were sitting in the fiery furnace, were they dwelling in His presence? Were they trusting His right arm, protecting them? That's good. That's good. Remembered in these times when things are coming at us. We got to know who our God is. We got to know that He's able to do it. And if He's not able to do it, and you've got to go through the situation, you have to know that it's for your good. He's trying to get you from A to B to C, get you where you need to go so you can endure what's getting ready to come against you. He's not allowing things to come against you to hurt you. Let's be real. There's things still inside of us that God needs to get out of us. I thought I had forgiven someone in my life, Pastor, several years ago. And I hadn't. I ran from the problem. I had pushed it so far down that I didn't know I had a problem. And so the things that He was taking me through that I couldn't stand and thought that He was mad at me was the things that was trying to get that out of me. I had been offended. I was angry. But then He restored me and my mama. Right? If you let Him go, you allow Him to take you through the trial, He'll restore all the broken pieces. Yes, He will. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. Woo, here's the king giving recognition to the God that they serve. Come forth and come hither. Then they came forth out of the midst of the fire. Listen, this says the Holy Spirit desires the world to know that it was the same three men who went into the fire who also came out. God wants to show the world that the fire jacket that you went in, He's going to call you out and they're going to recognize what you went through. But it's going to be for His glory, not your glory. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the kings, the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Listen, the Babylonian god of fire was Isbar. Consequently, this event was all the more important to the Babylonians. The God of Israel was thus manifested as so much higher than this fire god of Isbar, insomuch that He could deliver His servants even when in the very element in which Isbar supposedly had His power. That's good. My God trumped your God. He showed all these people. No pun intended. That's right. No pun. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree." Ooh, did He change His thought process? If they had not gone into the fiery furnace, would that not have changed Nebuchadnezzar's thought process? I'm not saying Nebuchadnezzar got saved right then. I'm not saying that he changed everything about him right then. But he made a decree right here. He was the king. Here's a decree coming forth. "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, every nation, and every language shall, or which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God who can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God is trying to elevate us. And when we allow Him to take us through the fiery furnace, that fiery furnace is going to burn off guilt. That fiery furnace can burn off hatred. It can burn off jealousy. It can burn off bitterness. It can burn off anger. If you'll allow it, if you'll go through it and not run, tuck the tail and run. If we allow Him to take us through these hard times, He's only preparing us for what our future is. Every one of us have destiny. Every one of us have purpose. Are we willing to allow God to take us along that journey? Do we have enough faith in our God that He is for us and not against us? Saints, it's time. We have to know this word. Time's winding down. Are we going to be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And are we going to believe what thus saith the Lord? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to come in here, that we still have a freedom to worship You in spirit and in truth. I pray, O God, that the hearts of Your people would receive this word, that they will take it, make application, that they would grow stronger in their faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.